B-Pod Studios.
What they say in the morning, you'll be talking about all day.
This is a dumb conversation, but, you know, why the hell not? That's what we do.
Cutcher and Rich, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Yeah. My dad is the best. 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 Yeah, my dad is the best. 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 My dad makes pancakes in the morning. My dad fixes broken things in the house. Well,
like this is obviously about Nick Jamelli, who's getting married tomorrow.
My dad was the one who helped me get it back out.
Everyone loves Nick's dad more than they like Nick.
It's true.
And sometimes my dad watches dumb cartoons with me.
Much to Nick's displeasure.
I wonder how he's going to be tonight. I mean, this is like his coming out party after his surgery.
Yeah. My dad is the best. So we'll see.
I wonder if he's going to have a, you know, a moment where, you know, listen, they told him not to get up and go too crazy, but he's not going to be able to stay off the dance floor. I got a feeling Mark Jamelli might be able to, might want to get out there and shake it.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, for a very limited amount of time, but yes.
But for a moment.
I mean, he'll be doing a lot of chair shaking. Like, he'll be like,
right here in the chairs, okay with me.
All right, Rich, what do we got here?
Okay, so we have been doing Brookline 911 for a while now, and, you know, one of the things that we've learned from it is that, you know, as funny as some of the calls are, not only in Brookline, but in Marblehead, is just the wild abuse of 911. People calling for some of the more ridiculous things. And, like, I mean, just in Marblehead, the one that we did last week, the woman, because someone was throwing Frisbee on the beach, didn't even hit them. They were just angry that people were playing Frisbee.
We're having fun, yes.
Yeah. But though, also what you hear is on the other side, you can tell that these people who are answering on the other end are probably sick of it. You know, especially when the call before might have been something really important. You know, yes. You got to think how emotionally weird that is that you probably were talking somebody down who just had a family member had a heart attack.
911 is for life and death emergencies.
Yes.
Like, there should be no hemming and hawing in a call. It should be urgent and to the point. Like anything that starts with, you know, I'm not sure. No. 911 is, oh, my God, come now. This is crazy. You know, my assistant's trying to kill me.
And many of the dispatchers on the places we do this for, off the record, will reach out and thank us. They're like, thank you for letting the world know what we have to deal with and hopefully scaring people away from misusing 911. Well, Ontario, Canada, has done something brilliant. They're obviously sick of it as well. So what they have started doing is when they do get a call that is a misuse of 911, they're putting it on their website. And they're saying, you know what? You're going to hear all of them. We get a call that's ridiculous. We want you to know what we're dealing with. And hopefully, because they don't have a great radio station like us who does the hard work for them, they said, you know what? We'll just do it for you. So I went and I took a look. And here are some of the things that Ontario, Canada has put on their website. By the way, the nicest people in the world, if they're even pissed that they're getting these calls, then obviously this has gone a little too far.
Coach Teacher, yes, and here we go. This should make that move, but it is not, so let's try again. Okay.
In the meanwhile, can we listen to... Getting ready for Nick Jamelli.
This is the first dance.
Bubble butt. Bubble, bubble, bubble butt. Bubble butt.
All right, let's try this. Bubble butt. Here we go. Bubble. All right, it's still not working.
Oh,
darn it.
All right.
Well, that was very Canadian of you. Oh, darn it.
Bubble butt. Bubble butt. Bubble butt. Bubble butt.
It was just the remix.
She's so fat. Bubble butt.
I didn't know a certain member of our station had a band.
What?
I don't know.
I got to figure that one out.
Mike, it's still not playing.
Oh, God.
All right.
Mike Lockhart is here to save the day.
One team police. Hello.
There it is. Mike Lockhart.
Yeah, I need an ambulance, please.
You need the ambulance?
No, I need the police.
Well, then why did you say you need ambulance?
I didn't say ambulance. I said I need police.
Okay. Do you have the police? Yeah. Where is the emergency?
Actually, the thing is that I have to pee, and these guys are not moving.
You have to pee.
Yeah.
This is your emergency that you have to pee?
Yeah.
And
yeah.
How are the police going to help you urinate?
I have to pee, man.
But I'm not sure what you like me to do that you have to urinate. I can't help you with that. I am disconnecting.
It was the operator missed out. You see what now? You have to do what?
Pee squeezing DA?
What?
I will be squeezing DA?
He's holding it off. I don't know. It's kind of called a, well, I don't want anyone to damage their.
So PA just like sneaks up behind people and squeezes their stomachs until they pee.
Yes, yes, yes. No. If you don't have a commode, I can fill in. I'll be there in a jiff.
I just can see him, like sneaking up.
Sneak, sneak, sneak.
Like a Halloween movie.
Yeah.
You just see GA's teeth instead of the
music
mask.
Music starts.
It's like the Cheshire Cat.
He starts tickling him. He goes, and now I'll take those pants.
Honey, I think I can hold it.
Now, I will take those pants and hermetically seal them.
It's like, oh, man, I kind of got to pee.
Look out!
And you just see in the background, like the Cheshire Cat, it's just the teeth floating in the darkness.
Rising from the back seat.
And then GA's head just shows up.
That's right.
And he comes by and just grabs them and squeezes them.
That'd be funny, though, if the call came in and the guy's like, you can't call because you have to pee. And then someone says, shh, yes, I've overheard the call. I think I'm in the vicinity of the perpetrator.
I'm going to imagine everything.
Officer Commode out.
I'm just going to imagine DA creeping up behind people in the darkness and just the teeth. And then you see the fingers wiggling. We have now officially gone through every fetish for DA at this point.
Oh, no.
Squeeze you till you pee fetish.
I'm making them. Well, John made that one up. I'm making stuff up I don't even know about. I'm just assuming.
Yeah.
By the way, DA is not like that.
No, not at all. This is a caricature.
It's just a character. But it could be called anything.
Sure.
At this point.
Yes.
Oh, lame cops. Well, by the way, if I'm a kid now, I'm calling 911 constantly.
Well, you get arrested. You can get arrested, and this
here,
happens a lot.
In Canada, they're not arrested yet. And plus, in like Canadian jail, it's like all clean and nice.
We didn't compete with me.
Oh, that's... Hey! Let's do karaoke. Come pee with me. Yes, pee, pee, pee.
DA,
you
know.
Yes.
Squeeze till your PDA is not somebody that I thought we would meet this morning. But I'm not sad that we did.
I practice on balloons.
Okay, yes, thank you.
Really?
I appreciate that. Mm-hmm. All right, so let's get to the next one. This is from the Ontario Police Department. They just are throwing
they're
these
lame.
Up. Yes, let's take a listen and see what they have to say. This is a 911 call.
Do you need police, fire, ambulance?
This is in terms of an officer. I'm supposed to have a trip to Union Station. The ride that was supposed to show up for me this morning did not. And I don't know how you guys work with services in terms of that, because I'm in a taxi right now, but it's not going to get me to the station on time for my train to board at 9:45.
Yes. Are you wearing shoes? Do you have to go to the bathroom?
You've been stuck in that car a while, haven't you?
If you're in that dirty old cab, I certainly wouldn't even hit your feet to pick up anything. DA operator. Yes, okay. We can help you. First, remove your shoes. Are you wearing stockings? Trick or feet.
Stop.
Okay, I'm sorry. So you're in a taxi cab and you think you're going to be late for your train ride at Union Station?
Yeah.
And so what would you like an officer to do?
Do you guys offer emergency ride services or not?
An emergency ride service.
I don't know how you guys operate with.
Well, I can assure you, we don't do that.
My apologies.
Okay, so you can you can call a cab or get in the cab and go to your appointment. Okay, you're welcome.
Okay. Bye. Oh, my God, people are so nice there.
I mean, they're, like, way too nice. It's not like the guy that was last week.
He's like,
no. Is there any way you can send someone down to tell them to stop?
No.
That's what happens when you call a place.
I mean, proper response. But the woman, like, even in distress, she was like, you know, people in Brooklyn are like, ah! This woman's like, I was unaware if you were offered the rapid rides. No, we do not do that. My apologies.
Yeah, because a woman almost did the same thing in Brookline, but remember she was losing her mind.
Yeah, well, these calls wouldn't be funny, like if as funny as Brookline ones, because the people are
enraged.
Brookline, the people are enraged, right. And like demanding of the service. Like, it's pretty stupid to think that the cops are going to pick you up and take you to the train station. But I mean, what are you going to, like, arrest the chick for calling? Like, I mean, she was nice. All right, what call is this?
911, do you need police, fire, or ambulance?
Hi, sorry, can you come to Queen Street?
Yeah, the police or an ambulance, or what are you looking for?
Police. I just want to talk to someone because I've been threatened by an owner.
Okay, what did the owner say?
Regarding my food.
An owner. Okay, so you're a customer?
I'm a customer, I am.
And what did the owner say to you?
He asked me to throw the food on the floor and then violently stomp on it. Hello, this is the owner. I've done nothing wrong. I wanted to see the gentleman smush his sandwich. Big deal. Big whoop. This is a misuse of 911.
Well, I ordered a chicken sandwich, and basically the owner, I told him right before I ordered, so I can't eat tomatoes, and basically the owner, at that time, I was like, okay, you know what? It happened last week where I ordered something, and it was to go, and I got tomatoes, and I told him I can't eat tomatoes.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with the police, okay, sir, much less a 911. Please don't call 911 in the future for fried chicken mishaps, okay?
Angry Canadians. That's very strange. By the way, Fred, I hate to drastically change the subject, but I was just reminded of something, and it was a friend of mine who texted me. So I guess that a guy that he knows or worked with, and I had seen this online, but I don't know how true it is. There was, I guess, some charity thing that was at some award deal. What is it called? A scholarship dinner, I think, at the Encore last night, where Tony Romo was, I guess, on stage with Jim Nance. And apparently Romo was just out of his mind.
Oh, really?
Yeah. If there's anybody who was there at the Encore last night and saw Tony Romo, because I saw a bunch of tweets of people saying, oh, my God.
Like, he was wasted?
Yeah. Like I mean, and it's like substantially.
Right, like he was having trouble standing.
Yeah, and this is, once again, all secondhand stuff, but I had a bunch of people tweet. If anybody was there, I wouldn't mind hearing a recap of what went on last night.
I would take Tony Romo wasted over Jim Nance 5 million times.
I would have asked about his toast if I was there. That would have been the first question.
That's what I thought you were going to say. Someone stood up and demanded to know about why he carries a pitcher around his toast.
I would love to know that.
I wonder if he's ever called 911. Ugh. All right, we'll be right back. Shoes.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
This is the home of the Bruins and the Celtics.
It is nothing but a thrill a minute.
And these guys.
Oh, my Lord, what could come next?
Dutcher and Rich on Boston's Home for Sports. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
I'm a scat man.
I'm a scat man. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's wow. really good. That's very
is that
great.
One of yours?
No. No.
I would hope it's not one of his.
Is that my, that's a Lockhart?
That's awesome. Well, that's nice. Very creative.
These are all songs about Nick and his wedding, in honor of his wedding this weekend. That's fantastic.
Wow, it's amazing. Who else could do this?
Only the Scat Man.
It sounds like, yeah, it sounds like when Nick tries to talk on the air. All right. Rich has a friend who reached out
I'm
to him.
I'm a Scat Man.
And said, yes.
We've heard enough from you this morning, D.A. Go hide back in the corner.
Okay.
Squeeze people until they pee, yes.
All right. So Rich had talked to a friend of his, texted him and said Romo was presenting Nance for with some unnecessary award, obviously, at the Encore, undeserved award at the Encore, and treated the event the way it should have been treated, with total lack of interest and respect. And the thing is that Rich's friend said Romo was so wasted that, like, he was booed off the stage, and like he was supposed to interview Nance, and it only went, what you say, 4 minutes?
Well, listen, this is all hearsay, and this is all I'm hearing from people. So I want to know.
I don't even know if they were in
there.
Town. Right.
Right. So I want to know if anyone was actually there. And matter of fact, I found some people who were tweeting about it, and I actually saw it online last night. And just from what people tweeting, they have to shut off Romo mid interview. And apparently he came out, like, it was, I guess, according to what I've read, once again, this is not, none of it is verified. He was 45 minutes late. He got on stage and was a mess, and they cut it off, like, really quick, the interview. And I guess people were trying to leave, and Romo was, like, you know, basically yelling at the people who were leaving. So I don't know if anybody was there. I would just like to hear, like, your encapsulation
what
of the
dumb
situation.
Award is are they giving to Jim Nance?
I don't know if it was an award or it was just an interview that he was doing, but it was this scholarship dinner that was at the Encore. And once again, go up there, have a good time. That's fine. But I do find it funny if he was fighting with people in the crowd, like yelling at
well,
them.
Well, that's
that
the thing is that if Romo's wasted, I mean, who cares if you're there and he's wasted?
Well, you're probably like, this is great.
Yeah.
Have an awesome time.
But if he's being combative and they're shutting everything down, Todd, what is your knowledge of the situation?
Hey, guys. Yeah, I was there. So it was supposed to be kind of a Q&A. So Romo was in town for the game, obviously, with Nance. And so they were supposed to be just sitting there like Joe in these two couches. But Tony just got up and started walking around, and he said at first he was real nervous, and he definitely probably had a couple drinks, so I think it was a combination of both. And it was like the awkward best man speech at the wedding. You know, it was just like, where is he going with this? And you could just see Nance, and he was sitting there with his head in his hands. He's going, oh my God. At one point, Tony went out, Nance's family was there, and Nance was like, oh, my family doesn't want to be introduced. And Romo went out into the crowd and tried to drag them on stage. So it was. They had to kind of give him the quick hook, and I think it was a combination. Again, he didn't know what he was doing. He was kind of scared to be up there because it was 1,300 people in the crowd.
Oh, Jesus.
And there was one guy at one point that yelled, sit down! And then Romo just kind of rambled on about what was going on in the crowd. So it was, yeah. It was uncomfortably beautiful to be there. Nance did not mention his tie. That's what I was waiting for.
I wonder if he gave Romo a tie in honor of to try to sober him
see,
up.
See, that sounds like something I would have loved to have been there for. Like, I mean, well, to me, I'd be like, all right, Romo.
Yeah, a lot
great.
Better than it would have been just to hear that idiot Nance babble.
Yeah,
on.
No one really was.
Oh, yeah, exactly. It was entertaining to say the least. No doubt.
All right, good. Good for Romo.
That's an event worth going to.
Good for Romo.
You want to see these guys like kick back and away from like.
Well, no, I think Romo treated that event the way it should have been treated, with utter lack of interest,
sure.
and you know, got himself worked up a little. He probably had to have a few just to get up there and not hit Nance in the face. So they're calling the game on Sunday. Great.
Yeah it's a CBS game, despite the Cowboys being involved.
It's always a visiting team, like that. Like
yeah, it's
the
a visiting team.
Visiting team gets the network, so.
Well, the visiting team gets the network.
Sorry, the home team gets it. Home team.
Okay,
yeah. Sorry.
No, it's usually the visiting team that gets the network.
Well, it's CBS this time, and
this must be one of those flex games that swap.
Yeah, because it is the visiting team that normally gets the network. Oh boy, well I don't like them. That's a shame.
I don't mind it. He's cut down. Romo's cut down to the.
Yeah, I haven't heard him call a game, I don't think, this year.
It's not bad. I mean, there's very few now that really
drive me crazy. Most of them are just fine. Some are good. Like, I have no problem with Collinsworth. I mean, you know, sometimes he says some stupid stuff.
Alan Michaels is the best. And then Kevin Harlan's good. And
Harlan's great.
Ian Eagle's good.
Yep.
I usually don't even pay attention to him.
Fouts is the only one that I think really drives me crazy.
Fouts,
he's gone.
Fouts wasn't preparing for the games.
Yeah.
Is the thing. And then if you were watching a game that and you were a fan of one of the teams, it was very obvious he hadn't prepared.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's a little aggravating when he's, like, getting everything wrong. You want them to at least know sort of what's going on. I normally don't care about them at all. People don't bother me. The people that call games don't bother me. I just, Romo and Nance, Romo really bothered me for a while. Maybe he's improved.
You know, and maybe it's just that we're used to it all now, but I think he's fine. Like,
shut up. Got to predict everything that's going to happen in the game. Big deal. You played quarterback.
CBS does a good job, though. I don't mind their broadcasts. Although last night we had a little bit of a funny moment that we'll play in the stack with Terry Bradshaw.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Every game I watch that's not a Patriots game is like the Z team. Every Lions game is...
It's because you're a Lions and Jets fan. That's right.
It's Lions games are Chris Myers every single time, and the Jets are... Like, it's like some kid calling the games now. Ian Eagle gets some Jets games because I think they throw him a bone.
Is Ian Eagle on the B team now? I think he's on the second tier.
I think you're right
about
that. He's
moved his way up.
They give him, though, a lot of Jet games, I guess, because of the market.
Yeah.
And maybe to throw him a bone, like, you know, so you don't have to travel. But so you do get lucky there. But the Lions, you get Chris Myers. Chris Myers every game. Chris Myers is like the
told you.
Patriots, he does NASCAR and Lions games.
That's the thing you'll remember. You know, kids will remember when they think about Detroit Lions games when they were kids. I mean, when the Patriots are really bad, anyone old enough to remembers the name Beasley Reese.
Yep.
Beasley Reese was a former NFL defensive back, but he was the lowest of the low. Yep. And when the Patriots were 6-10, 1-15 in the early 90s, every game that we got, and it was only road games because none of the home games were sold out. Was Beasley Reese.
Except for the 1985 season, I bet you I didn't see a Patriots game until college.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. Sounds right.
Because the only reason in college is because they started broadcast. They had all the games and I went to school with a bunch of people from around here.
Yep.
Someone tweeted, Joe Buck sucks. I like Joe Buck. I think Joe Buck does a great job.
Joe Buck used to suck.
Yeah, when he was very sanctimonious, especially the Randy Moss thing that we all remember.
That's one of the worst calls ever.
Yeah.
But Joe Buck's been fine.
He's been great. Like, the last decade, I actually like his calls.
And plus, what they're asking him to do is, like, crazy. I mean, they're asking him to call five different sports and three different nights.
He was doing that. There was, like, a three-week period there where he had no days off and was doing three sports and bouncing back and forth.
See, I think he's great at baseball. I think he's a great baseball.
He is. He is good at
play-by-play guy.
Yeah, his calls are. He knows when to let the moment breathe. He's the king of that.
See, I think he's great at baseball, and I think he's vastly improved in football because when he calls football games, I don't even notice it.
Yep.
Which is all I want.
Yeah.
I have eyes. I can see what's going on. But what it really takes is a really good sideline reporter. That's the job. Talk about a useless job. Yeah, they've got a Ken Martin there in the medical tent. Thanks. Back to you.
Back to you, guys.
All right, so what's coming up in the old stackaroos?
All right, we got to talk about this Marcus Smart situation. He gets suspended for a very strange reason, but it sounds like the foot is being put down early. On top of that, John, there is a member of the New England Patriots who is challenging you in your R&B sexy knowledge.
Heard about this.
All right. Interesting. We will have all that for you in just a moment.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
Now it's time to get to the stuff that we couldn't get to. It's the stack.
Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up. Stack, stack, stack it up.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich. We read the, we played some of the Kyrie audio yesterday in a Complex magazine, Complex Online, Complex.com, which is a urban black focused website, wrote about Kyrie Irving. And I just wanted to read this because I thought it was interesting. It says, Irving, despite pleading that he's not an anti-vaxxer and that he's just standing up for what he believes in and wants to be a voice for a voice, it sounds like he's not going to take the vaccine anytime soon after he went on IG Live Wednesday and spewed a whole bunch of nothing. Seriously, listen to what he said, and if you can make sense of it, you deserve a Pulitzer. And the reason I'm saying this is that I guarantee you that Kyrie thought like publications like Complex would be sympathetic to him. Because in his mind, he's fighting some fight that he can't articulate. And so credit to Complex for being like, yeah, dude, you said nothing. Like we're not going to just blindly go, oh, Kyrie, like you must be saying something smart. You said nothing.
What a shock you think this has got to be to him. Because not only do you have people like that. And the other thing is that I've been saying this since they made the decision. How much do you think it kills him that his own teammates aren't standing up for him?
Well, the thing is that I don't. Then he's really dumb. Because if he thinks that he was going to be able to rally guys to not get paid to maneuver their lives around just to not take a vaccination, they don't understand. He hasn't articulated what his point is.
Yeah.
Like, so what? So say what? If how possibly could Durant and Harden back him? Like, why? What's the cause? What's the cause? He hasn't said it.
It's just one of these things where he's trying to celebrity his way into getting what he wants. And no, it's not going to work this time.
He believes that it's not about the vaccine. He believes that he's fighting some imaginary war against like oppressive
forces without a cause.
Right, exactly. But he's like fighting this like oppression, he thinks, but he can't articulate it and it doesn't make any sense. So there's really think it through. What could Harden and Durant do? Like, why would they not get vaccinated? Mm-hmm. Like, for what? What would they be standing up for? He hasn't said it. It would be easy to say, I don't think the government should tell us what we can put in our bodies, even though it's an entirely flawed argument because they do anyway. But to say that the government can't, you know, say what we're in our bodies, I don't believe in this mandate, fine. But he, you know why he doesn't want to say that? Because he thinks it's this other cultural high, believe me. And so good for Complex. And if he reads Complex and he reads that, I mean, no one's supporting them. So the days of Kyrie, you know, just being able to babble a bunch of nonsense and everyone falling in line and going, well, he must be saying something, are over.
Well, it is going to be interesting to find out just how much he goes away or if he's going to continue to try to talk on Instagram. Because I have a feeling that when you don't have the media clinging to every single word, it's like, well, you've got nothing new to say now. There's nothing new. Like, until you say something of substance, then we're not going to report it. I have a weird feeling that he's going to just feel a feeling that he hasn't had in a long time, and that is insignificance.
Yeah.
And I think that's what he's talked himself into, is now it's like, all right, dude, we have all seen what's truly behind your words, and that is a whole bunch of nothing. So now we're not even going to talk about you anymore.
I don't think he has any problem with that vaccine at all. I think he is using this as another thing where, like, look at me.
He said he's not an anti-vaxxer. Yeah, he has said.
Yeah, but he's like fighting this like invisible force.
Right. It's a cause, and he thought that he would get a bunch of people to rally behind him, and of course, it's a cause that we can't figure out because he can't articulate it properly.
Right.
Well, all right. Well, good for Kyrie.
And the people that are probably behind him are really the people that like Jesse Waters and stuff.
You might be right. Well, Marcus Smart, this was a weird story that came out yesterday. Just out of nowhere, Shams and Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted that Marcus Smart had been suspended for tonight's preseason finale in Miami against the Heat. And then, as the couple minutes went by, Adrian Wojnarowski ended up reporting that it was because he missed the team's flight to Florida earlier this week.
Now, is it suspended without pay? Are we just assuming it's without pay?
I don't think that's been reported, because but he has been suspended.
Because I'm sure it's breaking his heart if he gets paid.
Well, here is Marcus Smart being asked about it yesterday.
Can you explain to us what happened that caused the suspension?
That's between
us and the team, and we'll handle it in-house.
Yeah, but Ime said you were remorseful for whatever happened. Whenever that conversation did happen with him, what was that like, and what was your reaction to the suspension?
I've already answered the next question.
All right, well, he's not very happy about that, but Ime Udoka apparently is trying to go ahead and set the culture straight from the very beginning. Got no problem with that. Here's what he had to say.
It's internal. We've handled it. He's remorseful, and we hold Marcus to a high standard. We've made it clear from day one, so he'll obviously be out tomorrow night. He's with us here on the trip, and just look forward to moving on from this, growing, and obviously abiding by the team rules and principles. And Marcus is one of our leaders that we expect a lot from. He understands that. He's remorseful, and we'll move on from there.
Okay, so when this story broke, I thought this was pretty funny. Greg Dickerson, he ended up tweeting out, he said, you know, obviously Greg Dickerson for many years, obviously would travel with the team. He was on the court. He put in 7 seasons of traveling with the Celtics. The only time I saw a player ever almost miss a flight was seeing Big Baby shirtless on the Bedford tarmac running to the plane in the middle of the winter. It's really hard for a player to miss a team flight. I love Smart, but there's zero excuse. I gotta hear the explanation with Big Baby on there. And was Kevin Garnett losing his crap laughing while seeing that happen?
Sure. Yeah, the idea that Big Baby made all the team flights pretty much puts that in perspective.
It really does. And I have to be honest, and I'm glad Greg put that out there, because I don't know how often people miss flights. I really don't. But I mean, if that's true, and all the time he was with him, when none of the Celtics ever missed a flight, and that it's that rare. Dude, that sucks. And I love Marcus Smart.
Man, who cares?
Because it does say something. It does say a little bit of something about, it makes you worry a little bit. A guy that's had, you know, a couple of issues. And also at the very beginning of the season, and he just got this big contract.
There's enough going on.
You got a slap on the wrist. He gets to go to Florida and not play. He wasn't supposed to play against Orlando anyway. The plan was for him to play in Miami. It's a 2-game trip. He gets to hang out.
He gets to go to Church Street Station.
There you go.
Listen, it's not a huge deal, but I don't like it. Like, that's something that I wish.
It's not technically Orlando.
It's like almost every time that you want to, like, defend Marcus Smart, and as I said, I love Marcus Smart, he'll do something like this. You're just like, oh, man, why do you make it so tough?
I don't know. The Patriots are playing the Red Sox in the playoffs.
It's a shot across the bow, Rich. He got suspended for a preseason game.
This is the time to miss the flight. I don't care. There's enough going on in sports.
It's a shot across the bow. It's Ime Udoka saying, I will suspend you if you do this. Here's an example of that when it really doesn't hurt them.
Yeah, of course. He's got to suspend.
Dickerson, if you're listening, and I know you like to, 617-779-0985. I wouldn't mind hearing the rest of that story.
The Big Baby story is interesting, yes.
Is Big Baby still in jail? Because remember, they arrested a lot of those guys.
The FBI.
I don't think they're in jail. They're probably,
It was fraud charges, right?
Yeah, right. It was one of the dumbest schemes of all time where they had, I forget who that player was, who was the kingpin of it all. And he had like all these doctor's notes. And apparently there was one guy who had this massive procedure on the same day where there are records of him playing basketball in Tokyo as a box score of everything.
They really half-assed this insurance fraud.
I mean, it's about as bad as it can be.
And coming from someone whose uncle was always looking out the window before he walked outside, insurance fraud, not easy to pull off.
Now, I used to love those videos of the guys who said that they couldn't go to work because their backs were thrown out, and then they would hire the private investigators, and they'd be outside like throwing their kids around and jumping on trampolines.
You got to look like... if you're in your underwear watching a Mets game, getting drunk on a Tuesday afternoon, before you walk outside, you got to make sure there's no cars that have been idling in front of the house for too long.
Well, you saw that they found that guy. Was he a murderer who was on the loose, and ended up being at a Mets game in the background of a Mets game this past week?
Yeah.
Or, I mean, it was from several years ago, but the story came out this last week. What was the deal, Dan?
He was one of the most, he still is, no, because they're saying that he was spotted at a Dodgers-Red Sox game in 2015. That's like the most recent sighting they've had of this
guy. But who knows who's the most wanted?
He was just sitting behind home plate. I mean, he didn't alter his appearance at all.
Yeah, what are we supposed to know everyone? Like, that we walk by and check them out to see if they're on the most wanted list?
Well, if it took this long to figure out that was the guy, then apparently nobody knows who's on the most wanted list.
Exactly. Like, I'd go to a game. Big deal. Whitey Bulger... Walked around for 45 years. They were making movies about the guy. He's like out there having fun.
Wasn't it his wife who told the hairdresser, and that's what brought in Whitey Bulger? Wasn't that it? They were hiding out, and wasn't it Bulger's girl? It was his girlfriend or wife, I forget at the time, but she was getting her hair cut, and I think she had told him something or her something. I believe. I'm just.
I've read this story. I don't recall. I know they were living in some like apartment in some dump like place
like
in California.
55 and older people out in like Santa Monica.
Yeah. I thought that movie was a little disappointing. Black Mass.
Yeah.
Johnny Depp. Mm-hmm. A little disappointing. Could have been a lot better.
And I tried to read the Howie Carr book. Like Rucker gave me the Howie Carr book about him when we first moved here. And but the Howie Carr, the way he writes, it's like all, you know, spazzy and like Boston-y, and I couldn't take it.
It's all spazzy.
Yeah, it's like
Boston-y.
It's like you know, hard-hitting, like, you know, old school, like newspaper guy talk. It's hard to explain.
Okay.
I'll try to get an excerpt and explain it to you one day.
Oh, that would be fantastic. The new Halloween movie, Halloween Kills, comes out, which I didn't think was the real title because Machete Kills was another movie, which was basically mocking action movies and horror movies. But Halloween Kills, 46% positive.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in this one too, right?
Yeah, who
she
cares?
She looks phenomenal.
She's got long hair now.
She That's looks right. great.
Until you put him in space, then it doesn't matter anymore.
And I thought after Christmas with the crane. She couldn't get any sexier.
I mean, Leprechaun went to space. Yeah. Jason went to space. Uh-huh. Michael Myers not in space yet, so I really
Didn't
don't
Dominic
care.
Toretto go to space?
Yep. Well, no. Toretto did not go to space. It was Ludacris and Tyrese Gibson who ended up going to space.
Okay. So the idea behind these movies is I'm getting this right, Rich, because you are a cinephile, is that I can make a low-budget kind of crap movie, and I'm confident that enough people just around Halloween want to go see a scary movie that I'll make money.
That is kind of the Blumhouse formula. They are one of the most profitable movie studios for the last decade. They're the ones, I believe, behind many of the Paranormal Activity and a bunch of these films like Sinister, where they're probably made for $25 million, and then they end up making over $100
million. Okay.
And so, I mean, they're almost can't miss. But these Halloween films, I mean... Honestly, what have you seen that you haven't seen before? She came back in the last one, so you've already seen that. I hate slasher
movies. By the way, Halloween's
anyway.
Not a scary movie.
The first one's, you know what? If it wasn't for the music,
real boring.
If it wasn't for the music, then that movie would not be that good.
But it's like really boring. It's super boring.
It's fine. I just hate slasher movies. I'm just not a fan.
I watched it. I don't know if I saw the whole thing. I think I crapped out. And if you go, well, the last 15 minutes, well, no, that's not a movie. A movie's an hour and a half. The last 15 minutes, I'm not sitting through an hour and 15 minutes of crap. All right.
You know who's in that? Anthony Michael Hall is in the new Halloween movie.
I know, and he's buff.
He is kind of jacked. But then again, I mean, listen, if you were in Johnny B. Goode, you knew he was going to end up being super jacked.
Dude, if you watched the Goldberg spinoff about the female character, you would have known that he has been around for a while because he played a motorcycle riding teacher in that one.
Anthony Michael Hall?
Mm-hmm.
I did not know
Did
that.
You know there was a spinoff of the Goldbergs, that the Goldbergs has been so successful that it generated a spinoff that ran for two seasons?
So it's their young Sheldon?
Oh, boy, that show. My kids love Young Sheldon.
Are you joking? Are you real?
I'm dead serious.
Oh, wow.
They love... My daughter loves Full House, and both of them love Young Sheldon.
Well, they're your kids. Of course they do.
Oh, yeah. The TV's always on.
You're raising them right.
Oh, yeah.
You're
friend.
Raising them with a classic.
Yeah, our friend is always... yeah, no, sure. They discovered Full House. My daughter's discovered Full House on her own.
Yeah.
I wonder if it's the power of the Stamos. The power of the... The Stamos.
Oh, God bless John Stamos.
I like Bob Saget like a lot. Like, he's a really nice guy. That show's pretty unexcusable.
The new one?
No, I get the new one. Like, help the girls out and everything. And, might as well make some money. Stamos owns the rights to it. Like, make money. Like, make all the money you want. That Full House is a bad show. Like, really bad.
But you've seen every episode.
Now I have, yeah.
So, but you know what? Sometimes you can be bad, but be comfortable, and that's all that
oh,
matters.
Oh, no. It's good for the audience. Like, my daughter loves it. That's what it's for. It's not for me. Yeah.
TGIF was kind of like younger kids, maybe even tweens, and that's basically who they're aiming for, right?
But you can tell that they didn't know the show was going to get canceled because the last episode, the youngest daughter falls off a horse and gets amnesia, and they kind of have to rush that... Like, oh, no, now it's over. like you could tell they had no idea that their show was going to get canceled.
Oops.
Because it just ends. And by the way, this minute she gets on the horse, you're like, all right, she's falling off this thing. There's no way. Like, there's no way she, the whole point, the whole exercise of this horse is that she's going to fall off of it. And then, and even, and Zoe goes, I bet you she can't remember anything. And my 11-year-old daughter's calling out plot lines.
Did I tell you that I showed my kids the final episode, or not the final episode, the final 5 minutes of the Dinosaurs TV show?
So you told them, you predicted the end of the world?
I said, do you want to see the worst ending of a TV show of all time? And of course, you know, the little baby's like, why is it snowing? Well, we're all going to die. And that was basically the end of it.
Oh. They were trying to make a statement.
And it was terrible. Muppets doing it.
An environmental statement.
Mm-hmm. And they did.
That show ran for more than one season, by the way. The American public consumed that show enough. The show Dinosaurs ran because they said, I'm the not the mama. Remember that?
Oh, well, that was the catchphrase.
Yeah, and that's why people watch that. Back in the day, people would watch shows just because they said something over and over again. By the way, when we got in the studio, there was a little taste of when we were at home with COVID, because they had on TBS on one of the televisions, and Urkel had made an Urkel
robot.
Oh,
that's right. That's the first thing Fred pointed out to me when he walked in. Look!
Yeah, Full House never reached the depths of the depths of just despair that Family Matters reached. Why not have him make a robot? Why not make him a time machine?
How about have a murdering puppet version of Urkel? Remember that in the Halloween episode?
Or how about make him a Bruce Lee Urkel who has speaks with a Japanese accent?
Which I think producers are probably trying to make go away.
They could never made him a karate expert without giving him a Pete Rose haircut and having him talk in an Asian accent.
I mean, it was I saw that, and I think you did a bit, wasn't it? Like, was it actually aired on Family Matters?
They just went, they all took acid and just went, anything goes, just anything.
Did he set off like a nuclear bomb?
Yes.
And when it went off, he went, did I do that?
No, he went into space to get the bomb.
Okay. That's like, the final episode.
You could think of any, you could take mushrooms and sit in a sensory deprivation chamber, and any thought that came into your head, Urkel did it.
That's what the writers of the new Halloween movie should do. If it happened with Urkel, then you put it in your movie.
Perfect.
Send him to space.
I like it.
What if they did like a reboot of The Sopranos, like another prequel, but it was all plot lines from Family Matters? Like young Tony gets into a machine that makes him like Fonzie.
I've watched that.
I would watch that too.
Yeah.
All right. I apologize to Nick and his family that I'm not going to his wedding.
I'm a scat man.
We will miss you.
I'm sure. You guys enjoy yourselves. Don't die on the way there or the way back.
See you Monday, Fred.
Yeah, it's breaking my heart. I don't got that drive in front of me today. All right, everyone have a great weekend. If you know of a tailgate in 2 weeks for the Jets-Patriots game, email me. Bye.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.